Hi, everyone. This is Mark, and I wanted to wish you and your family a very special holiday. For 2019, lots of changes are coming for Walnut Grove Cast, so stay tuned and please keep reviewing our show on iTunes. Well, without further ado, please enjoy this special Thanksgiving episode where Chris, Susan, and myself discuss the hilarious and cringeworthy episode, Harriet's Happenings. Enjoy.
Turkey time, turkey time. Turkey time, turkey time. Turkey time, turkey time. Turkey time, turkey time. Gobble, 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 stop. 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 Turkey time, turkey time.
Welcome to Walnut Grove Cast. This is Mark, and tonight I have two special guests. I'm just going to kill that music. We have Susan King, who's been on 100,000 episodes. How are you, Susan?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing really well. Thank you. And we have returning to the Walnut Grove universe, Christopher Hassler.
Yay!
How are you, Chris?
Like Michael Landon in season 11 when he comes back for that final.
He takes his shirt off and he's got a bigger perm or whatever.
That's right.
But how are you guys doing?
All right. I have to ask before we do anything. Are you deep frying the turkey this year?
No, I decided not to. I would like to. I'm still I did get my turkey already. I will say that. And I will begin the brining process tomorrow.
Susan, you're a briner.
Susan, given your location, do you do anything unusual with the turkey?
Do you guys celebrate Thanksgiving?
Oh, stop. Yeah, in Texas, do we celebrate Thanksgiving? But of course,
barbecue.
My mother, when I was married, I was like the total cook. I used to do my turkey in a brown paper bag, the brown paper bag turkey.
And it came out. What is that?
Yeah, I never heard of that.
Really?
Well, yeah. I'm looking that up right now.
you take two grocery bags from the grocery store and you grease the inside of them with butter.
No, wow.
Yeah, you do. And you put the turkey in the brown paper bag and you cook it. And I don't know why. I've never researched why that makes your turkey taste good. But you season it up.
It's a thing, Mark. It's a thing.
Well, you know,
it's all over the internet.
I do with a banana if I want to. If you want to ripen bananas, you put it in a paper bag. Maybe it's the same thing.
You can find recipes for it. Absolutely. So I've done that a couple of years.
So you put it in the bag with butter on the inside, right?
Well, I mean, I do it like the chef people do it, where you take your hand and you loosen the skin up from the meat and you smear the butter fresh chopped stuff in between the skin and the meat and all that. Yeah. And you just put it in there and seal it all up and let it. And again, it's been so long since I've done it. I don't remember why that makes your turkey good, but it did. The 2 years that I did it, it was like, ooh, this is awesome.
Why doesn't the bag go up in flames?
I thought the same thing. I thought this bag is going to catch on fire. But no, your paper has to be at a certain temperature before it will catch on fire. And since you do it in a low cooking oven, it doesn't catch on fire.
Weird.
Wow, that is really interesting.
What about you, Chris?
I'm going to a place where it will be cooked for me. So I have no idea how it's going to happen. And I enjoy that. I don't like doing – I cannot cook for, my family, much less a gazillion people.
You know, it's always the best thing to hear on Thanksgiving, two things. What kind of meat do you want? Because that right. means like you're being served. And what kind of boxed wine do you want?
There you go.
You bust out a little spigot, you know? But you know what I'm doing with my turkey? I am making a butter basil thing. Like, I'm basically, it's pesto and mixed with butter, okay. softened, and I put it underneath the skin. And cool. that's the way I'm going to roast it.
Okay.
Just a straightforward roasting good. This year. It's sorry to disappoint.
That's a good. Well, I'm not cooking mine. And my mother is 85, and she still likes to get in there and cook. So we just let wow. her do it. But when I was married, oh my gosh, it was mandatory. There had to be two different meats. There had to be at least a dozen sides. There had to be four different kinds of pie. Blah blah blah. Yeah, because that's what my husband Thanksgiving was his day.
Yeah.
And so yeah. So praise Jesus, I don't have to do that this year. I can just walk in and it's all done.
I'm sorry, you said praise something, my ears
Stop.
Got hot. Something, it got all distorted there for a second. I couldn't really understand what you said.
You know, I live in the Bible Belt. No, come on now. Yeah, anyway.
So we have a very special episode. We chose this yes. episode and we chose to release it on this day of Thanksgiving of 2018. See, I'm putting myself on the spot here. So mm-hmm. this has to get edited for this
Thursday.
I'm
going to nag you.
So yeah, we want listeners of the show to listen to this on Thanksgiving and remember that Catherine McGregor has died.
Yes.
She's gone.
The woman everybody loved to hate.
Yes. And but you also, know, we can be thankful.
Yes. You know, I was really surprised. She didn't do much after this. Like, no. I would have thought she would have done more TV, but she did the TV before this.
Yeah, she might have been typecast.
She was teaching children's theater after this.
Really?
She was teaching children's theater after she was done with Little House.
Oh, but still.
She did that quite a number of years.
Yeah, it's interesting. She was in a lot of stuff before this.
Yeah.
All in the Family. She was in one episode.
The Nurse, yeah.
Yes.
Oh, I do remember. Yeah, I do remember.
Yeah, she was the Nurse. Well, you know, when I heard that she passed away, what it made me think of is, even though everybody has skills and gifts and talents, there's some people obviously whose skills, gifts, and talents are more, you know, out there than others. And she was just so terribly gifted, and that's why I get sad whenever people pass away. I mean, beyond the normal mourning, is because I really strongly believe that everybody is born with unique gifts and talents that no one else will ever have. There'll never be another Catherine McGregor, just like there'll never be another Susan or Chris or Mark or any of the other billions of people that were born on the planet. And so it's like, she's gone, and that's never going to, it's never going to manifest in exactly the same way again. She was just so wonderfully unique
on that upswing.
But
I know what you mean.
I always take these things honestly when I hear someone like Catherine McGregor. You know, I watched the show in my childhood. It was like, you know, she was kind of like a friend. You know, you would see her every week, and now when you hear that she's gone, you know, I get really upset. Like when Squiggy dies, you're I'm right. gonna be upset.
Yeah.
Vernon Shirley die, too. I'm going to be upset.
Yeah. Well, yeah, because
when Gil Gerard dies,
the handyman with his handy. Well, but really, you know, it really is true. I had to give a teaching a long time ago at a church that was talking about the uniqueness of individuals, and I did all this research about this man who became fascinated with magnified photography back in the late 1800s when that was developed. And he spent parts of the last 30 years of his life taking pictures of snowflakes. And if you go on the internet and research that, it's so freaky. In that 30-year period, he took over 5,000 pictures, and not one of those snowflakes was alike out of 5,000. And so, for me, that just kind of brings home the whole thing about, wow, man, if snowflakes are different. People are, everybody's just, you know, somebody could be born tomorrow that looks exactly like Catherine McGregor, but their voice isn't going to be the same. They're not going to have the same talents and gifts or whatever. So it is, I completely agree with Chris. It's really something to mourn that, wow, that's never going to come again.
No, I do have also news about WannaCraftCast, because the day after Catherine McGregor died, I was reached out by one of the people who starred on, well, co-starred on the show, and they agreed to come on. So I wonder if they see their own demise coming.
Well,
it's like, I better get on the show. That's for future.
Right.
I can't let anyone know about these type of things.
And can we give props to Catherine McGregor for, like, you know, Mark, you and I talked about this when we did, so many years ago, All in the Family, how Archie and Carol O'Connor and Edith and Jean Stapleton, like, they got the roles from the beginning.
Yeah.
They were, the role was, I you know, it's perfectly cast, but these actors, like, totally.
They nailed it right off.
Brought it to life. Brought it to life. You know, so you know, Michael Landon is Michael Landon. You know, yeah, he's Pa Ingalls, but he's Michael Landon.
Right.
But Catherine McGregor is this character.
She's, you know, so important to the entire ecosystem.
She is
completely 100% this role of Harriet.
Well, what episode are we talking about
absolutely.
Today? Do you guys want to say the name of the episode?
Doing the show that, I don't know if it's the one that features her the most or the best, but it is all about Harriet. It's called Harriet's Happenings.
Yes.
Now, it's season 5, episode 8. This aired the day before Halloween in 1978.
Mm-hmm.
And,
yes,
which is interesting. I'm always interested by the date that Little House aired, because it seems as though they're never kind of in line with actual holidays.
Right. Yeah, it is kind of weird. And to piggyback on what Chris was saying, if you really want to follow Catherine McGregor, I think the best example of it is if you get an early episode, season 1, Ma's Holiday. And Catherine McGregor had not developed this character yet. She was snooty, but she was relatively quiet, and she hadn't yet put the farce, those are her words, she hadn't, because she said, I've been reading a lot about her, of course, because of her passing, and she was talking about how in the beginning, the character was just a bitch, she was just mean, and she was like, well, somebody that's just flat out mean, that's just kind of stupid, so she started interjecting farce, and she said, I know everybody enjoyed seeing Harriet fall on her butt, but I think Ma's school mom, not Ma's Holiday, school mom, the one where Carolyn goes in to teach, she's snooty, but she's not outlandish as she developed the character. And so it's really, even her makeup was different. So it's just real neat to kind of follow her and watch her develop the wonderful Harriet Olsen.
Well, I'm going to jump into this episode. I'm going to start playing some clips. And, it really is a fun episode. We get,
Can we just say, like, how prescient this episode is? Because it's all about fake news.
Yes.
It is. It's also, remember when this came out, the Enquirer was first, it was really big.
That's when Michael Landon gets to his big speech at the end, that's all
it's
I kept
about
thinking
him.
Of.
Yeah.
It's absolutely about him. And it's interesting that you said that. I was wondering about the word tabloid. And so I did some research, and they said that actually the first recorded use of tabloid, that style of journalism, goes all the way back to 1901 from the Westminster Gazette. And that tabloid was an invented word that describe that type. So literally the word tabloid, the definition of it, is having the form or likeness of real news. That's where that word tabloid, it was invented by a guy named Silas Burroughs.
Do you have a date on that? Because I kind of learned a different definition of the word tabloid.
You said 1901?
I've got January 1st, 1901 is when the first tabloid paper came out. But then a gentleman named Henry Welcome went into partnership in 1878 with Silas Burroughs.
Whoa.
And they set up a pharmaceutical business, and they named a tablet a tabloid. It was a special kind of a tablet. It was like a fake tablet, like a medicine, not a fake tablet, but it was different from what they were calling a tablet or a pill. And so they're talking like the 16th century. What did you find out?
Well, I don't have a date, except I'm sure it predates your info. I'm just kidding. No, I just, when I worked in newspaper design and everything, it's tabloid is a size, you know, which goes, it means 11 by 17, essentially, which is the size of most tabloids. This is also the size that a magazine would be if you folded it. It would be 11 by 8.5. So I don't know. I mean, I'm thinking that for the most part, it's a size. It's a ledger size. But, I mean, I'm sorry, go on.
I'm just curious. Was Michael Landon National Enquirer fodder back?
I am currently looking for the covers.
I know the whole story on this, and that's why it makes this episode really difficult for me to watch, because it is agenda pushing at its nth. You can see, if you watch the whole episode, you can see Cindy Clerico in this episode 4 or 5 times. He was cheating with her. I mean, cheating on Lynn with her.
Which one is that?
No, I'm not kidding you. He was cheating with his wife, Lynn, on Cindy Clerico. Cindy was a makeup woman on the set of Little House on the Prairie. You can see her in this episode 4 or 5 times. She's in the mercantile. She's standing out on the street at the very beginning. She's even in the church when he makes his big speech. And to me, that's what this episode was all about. He was being fried in the National Enquirer because they had found out about his affair. And this episode is just agenda pushing to the nth degree.
Now, if you were to be a subscriber to the National Enquirer in 1978, the issue that would be on your table as Little House on the Prairie aired on this October 30th, 1978, would have had Elvis on the cover. It would have had the anniversary of his death, and it would have 6 pages of exclusive stories and photos, plus the famous last picture. But you could enter to win his last ring.
Wow.
And you know what? I did.
I did. And you can also lose weight using fantasies.
So I didn't.
Yeah, me either. Me either.
But this is, you know.
I did not know he was dogged in the Enquirer.
Oh, yes, he was.
I'm just looking real quick, National Enquirer. We'll see Michael Landon, 1978. Let's see what it brings up in the old.
Y'all have to remember, I'm an old woman. I remember all this stuff. I'm an old woman.
Let's see.
He lost his contract with Kodak Camera over this. I mean,
really?
Yes. They dropped him.
Wow.
They dropped him because he had, you know, that was his rep, Family Man, Charles Ingalls, Little Joe. I mean, he did the same thing 3 times. He was married to Dodie, and then he met Lynn on the set of Bonanza and cheated on Dodie and divorced Dodie and married Lynn. And then he was married to Lynn. And then cheated on her with Cindy. And there's a lot of heat. Yeah.
You gotta live life, is what I always say.
Mm-hmm.
So he deserved it.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's
Hey, Jamie Farr was also on the cover of National Enquirer.
For what?
That he really wore bras and dresses? Is that what it was?
It's just a picture. The night my wife and I were chased by aliens. We have.
Well, he's in there, I guarantee you. It may not be the week of. It may have been before, or it may have been whatever, but earlier in the year. I don't know what, you know, when he started cheating.
Before
with her,
I play the clip, I do want to just add one more thing, is that according to another 1978 issue from June, U.S. scientists perform successful monkey head transplants. Well, and it can be done on humans now.
That's why my neighbor looks so weird. Okay.
I think it's amazing. And I believe it. And I know it was 40 years ago. But I'm waiting. I want to get a new head.
Okay.
All right. So this is a Michael Landon produced episode, or written by him. So at first I thought it was going to be super sad. But it's not. It's one of the funnier ones.
No, it's funny. Yeah, it's funny.
So we have, I forget his name, this actor's name, but he's coming into town to start.
John Hillerman.
John Hillerman.
Yes.
God, from Magnum P.I.
Right. Yep. He's got really bad eyesight, which I know.
And Blazing Saddles when he's like, oh, he's a nit.
Can't you see the Batman is a nit? Yeah, right.
Here he is coming into town. Harriet, of course, is overjoyed that her
distant
second cousin, something once removed.
Twice removed, or whatever she says.
But here's the clip.
Oh, here he comes!
Lord.
No, it seems also, I just want to mention that Charles is immediately kind of a grumpy person having to do with the presence of this guy. Until he finds out he can make a few bucks off of him.
Right, right, right. They don't waste any time getting jobs.
Yeah. And Caroline's just sitting over there with the doctor, Doc Baker. It just seems a little bit weird.
No reason.
Harriet, you haven't changed a bit.
I'm not Harriet.
I'm Harriet.
Ah, of course you are. Oh, you have changed. For the better, of course.
Oh, ladies and gentlemen, meet my second cousin on my mother's side, once removed, Sterling Murdoch, the new editor-in-chief of the Pen and the Plow. Come on.
Now, Pen and Plow, I think, Susan, I think you discovered there actually was a newspaper called Pen and
there
Plow.
There was a newspaper called The Pen and the Plow in 1881 through Rutherford College in North Carolina.
Yep. And it was a rag just like this in a lot of ways.
Yeah, probably.
No, I wanted to read actually an excerpt from it. Although a couple of the words, I'm just like, what does that even mean? The headline reads, "A Remarkably Deliberate Suicide."
Oh, right.
Hugo Grundy, a young Vienna shopman, being without employment, heavily in debt, and absolutely impecunious, I'm not really sure, made up his mind to enjoy one hearty meal and then to quit the world. Betook himself to Zagernitz's restaurant in Schadengas and ordered a sumptuous repast. He spent nearly 2 hours at the table, during which time he consumed a goulash with dumplings, a dish full of stewed kidneys, a huge black pudding, an entire portion of braised beef, 4 small loaves, a quart of lager beer, and 3 pints of claret. When he had finished the meal, he carefully folded up his napkin, laid it on the table beside his empty plate, drew a revolver out of his breast pocket, and settled the muzzle of the weapon against his left breast and shot himself through the heart.
What?
Yeah, that's it. The end.
That's the way to do it.
Wow.
That's the way to do it.
Before you were going to say that, I was going to say, wow, they had my 600-pound life even back in the day, but not from shooting himself. Wow. Okay, wow.
Yeah. I didn't see any salad on that list.
Yeah, me either.
I'll have the side salad. no croutons. Watching my carbs. So I thought it was kind of, it's full of all of this type of stuff too. It's like, just talking about people and in this manner. So what else are they going to write about really? Right.
There is nothing else.
Well, and digging around in newspapers, the very first newspaper in Minnesota was back in 1849. James Goodhue was the author, and it was the Minnesota Pioneer. That was the very first daily newspaper in Minnesota. And then there was also one called St. Paul Dispatch in 1868. So they're, you know, they're kind of right along that area. What year did this episode air?
78.
1880. Okay.
Yeah. So we have the kids are getting right in on the child labor, the lack of child labor laws.
Right.
Right. Being put to work for 50, what was it, 50 cents?
Yeah, 50 cents a week. Yeah.
So between that plus the $3 Pa was going to get for delivering the papers, you know, the Eagles really shouldn't be biting the hand that feeds them here.
Yeah, but I'm pretty sure, don't they lose a crop coming soon or something?
So they could have used the money. That's what I'm saying.
Right.
Also, I love that there's no Mary. There's no mention.
Oh, that's right.
There's nothing. God,
where are we in the blind...
in Mary world?
Yeah, I'm out of a little touch with my...
I'm going to look where we are. This is knowledge. Season 5, so... I just wanted to take a look.
She's in the beginning.
She's either just got married or she's close to being married. Because when Albert came back with them, you know, they left Mary. They left Mary in Hoosie Dinky.
Well, this is a very exciting season, keep in mind. Just two episodes before, Lars Hansen had died. He had a stroke and died.
Right. So Mary's probably not married yet, but that episode should be coming up.
And this is also after they had moved to Winoka and brought,
right,
and kind of kidnapped Albert.
Right.
And said, "You're mine, boy."
Exactly.
Which comes up in this episode. So.
Yeah, it's kind of true, though. And, you know, later on, we also have the episode that I guess we'll review in the future called The Craftsman, which is about the Jewish carpenter.
Mm-hmm.
Named Jesus.
Stop.
So,
that's here a good episode.
Here they are, going and visiting the old bank, right? This was the bank that he's setting up shop in.
Mm-hmm.
And he looks a lot like the banker, I think.
You're supposed to meet our pops at the newspaper. We're going to see the printing presses. You want to come with us?
Oh, I'd like to, but I promised my father I'd get home and help him.
Oh, okay. Well, we'll see you tomorrow.
Yeah, what is this kid from? I forget. Is it
Remember Escape from which mountain?
Yes. Yep. Eric Schiller. No, I mean, that's his character.
He was briefly in Star Trek II Wrath of Khan, but he gets killed.
Oh, okay. But what else? I mean, this kid looked like he had a pretty bright future.
Oh, that was Escape from Witch Mountain.
That was it.
With the other girl from Little House on the Prairie, who was on this, right?
Oof.
There was a girl who...
Wasn't that the chick from Tough Turf?
Who, Kim Richards?
Yeah, yes, that was the girl from Tough Turf. Yeah, wasn't Kim Richards in a few episodes of Little House?
Yes, Kim. No, she was only in one episode. She was
the limping
girl. She was the one with the uneven legs.
Yeah.
Well, Ike did a lot of TV. He was on Chips, T.J. Hooker, nice. The Jeffersons? Really? Kung Fu Mannix?
That was all pretty much downhill.
Yeah.
Currently working at an In-N-Out in L.A.
Yeah.
Oh, so, yeah, I'll play this clip out.
Last one there is a rotten egg. Hi, Pa.
How's it going, son?
How you doing, kids?
Can we come in and see what he's like?
I don't see why not. Come on, we'll ask Mr. Murdoch. Mr. Murdoch, my children were if they could have a little look around.
Oh, they're welcome to.
That's my daughter, Laura, and my son, Albert.
Yeah, that's my son, Andy. How do you do?
Hi. Well, that's the last of it, sir.
Oh, thank you. You men did a good job fixing this place up.
Thank you.
If you're interested, I could use you and your wagons for another job, making paper deliveries in bundles, dropping them off at general stores and post offices around the township once a week, Fridays. $3 a piece? $3 a week? I think I'd be interested.
You just hired yourself a couple of wagons.
Good.
Well, I'll hit your team for you.
I appreciate it.
We'll see you later, kids.
See you later.
Would there be any work for me around here, Mr. Murdoch?
Well, matter of fact, there is. My eyes aren't too good anymore, and a printer with bad eyes is like a farmer with a broken plow and no horses. So I need two bright young people to help me set type. Printers, devils, they're called.
I've been called worse.
Be about an hour a day after school. Pays 50 cents a week.
50 cents? I'm your devil, Mr. Murdoch.
That's neat. Can I be a devil, too?
She's smart.
All right. You're both hired.
How about me?
What about you?
he's not smart. What about right? Manual labor.
Right. You'll be the janitor, boy.
Well, I need some enterprising young people to distribute flyers.
I'm very enterprising.
Good. Pays the same as the others get.
We gotta tell our folks. Come on.
Yeah. Thank you.
Don't tell your folks. You're gonna just take your money.
Right. Exactly.
So Mr. Garvey is making $3 a week too. His son is also bringing cash home, and he still can't get his wife a 15th wedding anniversary present.
Right.
You know, it's a great point because the dress is only what, $9?
I hadn't thought about that.
He's a secret gambler.
Mm-hmm. But you know, it's kind of interesting because that dress is more expensive than the oven.
Oh, it sure is. The 787.
So what's going on with that? Wow. Maybe, you know what? Maybe she doesn't need a dress that's worth more than an oven.
Well, maybe that's why everybody made their clothes by hand that lived out there. Good Lord.
Let's be honest.
That's some money. That's 180 something bucks.
And let's be blunt here. Where are they going that they need this fancy dress? It's not that fancy, actually. But it was 15 years that they were together. I think that's inconsistent with previous.
With what?
With when he finds out that she had a past and everything. She was impure.
Harold.
That's right. Harold. I forgot about that.
Harold. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Harold. Harold, the ladies' man.
Yeah.
So here we go. We're sitting now. We're having a wonderful dinner at the Olsen's house.
Tell me, Sterling. How do you go about making up a newspaper? I mean, where do you get all the news and the articles?
Well, the insides, all the general news, are printed in St. Paul, shipped here weekly.
I see.
Also, I want you to point out, this is propaganda written by Michael Land, and like we were saying before, how do you make up the news? You know, he's really selling an interesting bill of goods here.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's just like the Associated Press. That's the way newspapers work now. You know, it's like they send out their thing and newspapers basically subscribe to it and they reprint it. You know, it's really that simple. So it's really the same process that's always kind of happened.
And then
the words that they use are interesting. Make up. We make up
right.
The news.
Mm-hmm. I have a tough time accepting, you know, like it's a little heavy-handed.
Yeah.
You make up here.
Exactly. The outside's four pages consists of all our local news and ads.
You write all that yourself, Uncle Sterling?
Couldn't possibly. Well, with organizing the business end, writing editorials, printing the paper, etc., etc., I'll need a head reporter based here. Happen to know anyone qualified to write a news column on Walnut Grove activities?
Do I ever? I have the perfect person.
Who?
Me!
That laugh is incredibly annoying. It's like it should be my cell phone like ringer or something.
Can I just point out?
Yeah.
Like Jonathan Hillerman came here to set up a newspaper. He came with nobody to help him in the office to put the thing together. He's got no. Right. He didn't come here with like what was he planning on doing?
Exactly.
Who's
with those
printing?
You know, with the those cuff bottle glasses of his, yeah, he can't see his finger in front of his face.
Those aren't even Coke bottles. He's like looking through marbles. Wow. But, you know, I don't know who's printing it. He doesn't have a printing press, you know, but he has all these type of devices. It kind of doesn't make a lot of sense. But, you know, hey, what do I know?
Oh. I mean, all the news does filter in to the mercantile.
And out her mouth.
Go, Nails.
How much does a head reporter get?
Well, with all my starting up costs, Harriet, I'm afraid I can't afford much.
Oh.
But, of course, if the paper thrives, the pay gets better.
I have the most wonderful idea, and it won't cost either of us a cent.
I like the idea already, whatever it is.
Barter. My salary for free ads in the paper.
You've got a deal, Harriet.
Good.
Put a lot of names, personalized. People like to see their names in the newspaper. Mm-hmm. Boost circulation.
Oh, yes, yes. So don't you worry about that. I'll name names and times and places, too. And Nellie, darling, you can help me. Can't she, Nels?
Why not? Yes. She's got her mother's nose.
Oh, I have the most perfect name for my...
Nels hates his family.
He really does.
Susan, I want to get your opinion. Why, especially in this episode, why does Nils stay with her? What?
You know, it's funny. My wife has said before, she's like, why doesn't Tom just get together and kill her?
Right.
I have no idea why Nils stays with her.
But you know, Nils does leave her for an episode.
That's
not enough.
And that's how I know that Catherine McGregor was so good at doing what she did, because I'm not a proponent of people cheating, but when he goes to the town and almost cheats with the Irish chick, I'm almost kind of rooting for him, you know? So it's like, that's not good. Not good at all.
But she really is the perfect person that you love to hate. You know, yes. You really do.
Yeah.
And I guarantee you people would like go up to her and be mad at her like maniacs, you know. it's probably really true. Alison Arngrim says that, you know, all the time people treat her as though she's really Nellie. That's manic.
Ice cream and sodas being thrown on her and people hitting her and
but she's
her
also a self-described bitch, so
yeah, true. Well, she's made it work for her. She's laughing all the way to the bank.
Yeah. No, she's doing very well. She's doing a lot of great stuff right now.
Yeah, she is. She's so awesome.
But here we go. Harriet muscles Mrs. Garvey. Mrs. Garvey, she should have known something was up here, right?
Exactly.
That's going to be $1.79, please. Put it on our bill, please.
Pump the brakes.
You know our policy. All charges must be paid by the end of the month.
Yes, I know, but I'm afraid I just don't have the money today.
You know, my Nellie would be an excellent choice to represent Walnut Grove in the spelling bee.
Yes, she is a very good speller.
Yes. And what with her natural poise and beauty, Walnut Grove would have a model representative. And, of course, I would donate a $2 gift certificate to be honored here at the Mercantile.
Oh, that's very nice. Thank you.
Oh, that makes me the chairwoman of the awards committee, doesn't it?
Oh, my God.
About these purchases, I'll just have to wait till I have the cash.
Don't you think it's a little presumptuous to say, well, I'm just going to have to wait. I need the dress. You know, I think it's a little presumptuous, personally. No one else are.
No, they do. They just, you know, dialing all the way back to the first episode and Charles getting pissed because they wouldn't extend him credit. It's like they just expect it.
Right. I'll be out here dying.
Well, she says later, like, if you need food, I can give that to you. But when he wants the dress, you know, that's not like a necessity.
Right.
She's a businesswoman. She's here to make money. And now she's a part of the press and also a chairperson.
Harriet is very smart in this episode. I mean, she's very she knows exactly what to do. I never gave her that credit. What? She's using the paper.
No, you're right. Absolutely.
The store's advantage, and now she's just getting – well, she thought she was getting Nellie on the spelling bee, but – that's not going
to
work.
Yeah, she has to realize she has to take a lot further than a $2 gift certificate.
Right.
But now here we go.
No. Why, I wouldn't dream of depriving you. Take them. After all, we must help one another in time of need, mustn't we?
Thank you, Mrs. Elson.
Yes, of course. Bye.
That was a very cringeworthy.
Oh, she's a snake. Oh, she's just a snake.
I also want to put, there are a lot of clips here, but I think they're definitely worth playing. For instance, the next scene where we're going to get introduced to, is the kid's
to
name
to the
Mike?
Swedes?
Yeah. It's,
no, well, not in the show. I called him Mike.
Like, Eric, am I on or Eric, being, Eric, Eric Schiller.
Eric Schiller. Who's supposed to be German or Dutch?
They came out later. They were German, but I was like, yes. I just kept calling them Swedes.
Yeah, they look Swedish. I was like, you know?
And that too.
Without much of an accent either. So, I'm interested to know if you guys know about the coffee that he's reading. So I'll just play it. And it's only a quarter. And they're like, no, you don't spend a quarter on coffee.
Wait, you guys have been doing so much research here. Did you actually research this coffee?
No, I didn't.
Oh, okay. I didn't either. I was like,
I just wanted your opinion. If you know anything about it, just listen to what they say.
All right, I'll look it up. I'll look it up.
All right.
What does this say, Eric?
We carry a fine line of spectacles, Mr. Schiller, if it's reading glasses you need.
What I need, Frau Olsen, is English.
The name Blankies is synonymous with good drinking coffee.
This is true, Frau Olsen? It is good coffee?
Oh, the best, Mr.
What did you call her? Farer?
Frau.
Fraulein.
Frau. Like Fraulein.
That's weird.
This is before Hitler, so it was okay.
Yeah.
Mr. Schiller, I drink it myself. Well, how much does it cost, Frau Olsen? 25 cents. 25, Papa. Oh, das ist zu viel. Wer kann das nicht bezahlen, Papa? Nein.
Thank you anyway, Frau Olsen.
Yeah. Y'all got any Sanka?
Exactly.
Man. All the guy wants is a solid cup of coffee. we all know coffee. I mean, do you guys both drink coffee?
I drink too much coffee.
I drink cappuccinos. I just have the powdered junk fairy coffee that we used to call it when we were kids. Mostly milk with a little bit of coffee in it.
This morning I woke up at about 5:30 in the morning and it was about 32 degrees out. And one of the dads was up and he had this little tiny stove and he had made a ton of coffee and he was just heating it up. And I was like, oh my God, this is like the best guy in the world. It was nice. Terrible. It was terrible coffee, but it was like
It was the best.
Yeah, no. Having a cup of hot coffee is there's nothing quite like it when you're freezing half to death.
Yeah.
For the sake of your child.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, they say no to the coffee. They're like, did you guys catch the brand? I didn't know if it was.
No, I it went by too quick.
It sounded like Blinky or Blinkies.
Yeah.
Let's go play it one more time. I'm just curious.
Take them. Yes.
English.
Ah, ha, ha, ha.
Papa. The name Blankies is synonymous with good drinking coffee.
Blankies.
Is it true, Frau Olsen? It is good coffee?
Oh.
I'm just sorry. No, nothing came up. Coffee and blankets. I'm going to keep digging into it because I'm always curious where coffee came from and who made it and all that kind of stuff in the 19th century. So, all right. So the kids are working in the printer and we see
the first issue comes out.
We see basically how to sell newspapers, right? We get the first indication of it. And who's the first sucker to buy one? It's Jonathan. Jonathan's a big sucker. It's a big dummy, you know. What do you mean war's been declared? All right, so. Also, the music is kind of fun in this. It's a very lighthearted episode when it comes to the music.
Yeah, it is.
It's like Harriet's theme or something.
Hey, there's something about Pod Harriet's happening.
Speaking of which, if you notice that they have these, they look almost like tchotchke boards. Like, little tiny shelves and everything. It's basically where they would keep the letters.
Yeah.
And they would have drawers of different fonts, you know, and that's basically they would lay out each letter and all that kind of stuff. And as a matter of fact, do you ever hear, you know, uppercase and lowercase? That would refer to where the actual shelves are, because it would be the upper ones would be in the uppercase and be in a lowercase. So that's where that comes from. But if these are really everywhere, if you go to like antique shops,
yes,
for whatever reason, they pull the drawers out and they get rid of the whole thing. These, if you ever see them, they sell for like $5 or $10. Pick them up. You can sell them for like $100 each. People like want these things so badly.
What?
Yeah, I'm being totally serious.
Oh, you know what I have in my house? I just remembered. It's a, I got it, oh my God, probably 25 years ago. It's a hunk of wood and it has a copper plate nailed to it that has a floral design that was used to press in a newspaper. I mean, that was used as a design in a newspaper.
Oh,
it's got a little square cut out of it, I guess, where they would have put a picture or an article or something. But the metal work in it, the copper work, is all like these flowers with vines. And I just saw it and I thought it was cool. It has some writing on it, but I haven't looked at it in a million years. So I couldn't tell you what it said. But yeah, not the same thing as what you're talking about, but it was a copper plate.
Yeah, it might have been a part of it, though. It might have been something that they would use to create, like, if you ever see some columns, they'll have like an artistic design around it or something.
Yeah.
It might have been used for that.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
But if you ever see these things in antique shops, for whatever reason, I see them every once in a while and they're like $5 each and you just grab them up.
Absolutely.
They're the kind of thing you can hang on a wall and put like little knickknacks and stuff like that in them. And they look really cool because they're very aged and usually made of a really nice, like, walnut or alder ash or oak.
Antiques have depreciated so much. I remember back in the day, just hundreds and hundreds and thousands of dollars, and there's still pieces like that, I'm sure. But it's just, even like when you watch Antique Roadshow and stuff, somebody thinks they've got some cabinet worth $10,000 and they say $1,200, you know, because they're just not like it was back
but
in
it was
the
owned
80s.
By Henry Hill.
Yeah, that's right.
It's Henry Hill's 1987 Celica.
That's right.
His rest of the clip.
Say, the Reverend Alden will be out of town for the next 3 weeks, carrying the good word to other communities. In his absence, Nels Olson, Dr. Hiram Baker, and Charles Ingalls will conduct services.
Oh, and there's something about the spelling bee. A reliable source, the most reliable, initials AG, tells us Nellie Olson, the lovely, brilliant daughter of Mrs. Olson, co-proprietor of Olson's Mercantile and chairwoman of the awards committee, will be chosen to represent Walnut Grove. How does she know that?
Yeah. We haven't even had the eliminations yet.
Want to see what we've got so far?
This is like 1450 with this newspaper thing. It's like they do all of this old tech. Even for this time, I think this is incorrect. They would have had like, it would have been like a really quick process to print all of this. I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure.
Well, but newspapers had been out for about 20 years, according to what I read. So,
yeah. Wouldn't he just use his, whatever it was, a Xerox back then? Like he would do one.
No, what was it called? The Ditto machine.
Wait, I'm looking that up.
God, what is it called? it's gonna bother me so much. It's basically the word that
you're
Ditto.
Right, Ditto. Ditto. You're right. Spirit duplicator.
I'm thinking about the one that John Boy had in the 1930s where you just turned the crank.
Is
that a Ditto?
No, yeah, a mimeograph. That's it.
Oh, a mimeograph.
Oh, my God. Anyway, it would copy, they would make the newspaper in reverse, and they would make the plates, and then the mimeograph basically, you know, it spins, and it each revolution, it's basically pushing into a piece of paper.
Right.
It's very, very dirty and, you know, whatever, but it's fast.
And
it's,
one guy couldn't do it.
Yeah, one guy couldn't do it.
The
blank space is for Harriet's happenings when you finish setting it.
It says, war declared.
War declared! Get your paper! Read all about it! The pen and plow! War declared! Read all about it!
War declared?
Olson's Mercantile declare war on high cost and shoddy goods.
Big 20% off.
War declared! Read all about it!
We don't even have any money.
Wow, but Harriet's smart. Now, there we go again. Harriet is smart.
No,
got
she
everybody
is.
Buying papers.
Right. And let's hear why this is an okay thing to lower the prices by 20%. No, it's not.
It'll come up.
Is it next?
It's somewhere along the way, but I think right now we're just going to get like lots of fake news right now.
Yeah. It's literally fake news, yes. All right, I'll just play it through. Doc Baker putting away his morphine.
Jonathan!
Right.
You see your mention in Harriet's happenings, Doc?
Well, she spelled my name right.
Oh, yeah, perfectly. Right here, Dr. Hiram Baker lost another patient when Ezra Jenkins died last Wednesday.
Ezra Jenkins was 96 years old. He just plumb wore out.
Sure.
Just read it in the paper, Doc. And look, it must be right. It says right down here, was written by Walnut Grove's leading citizen.
Misleading citizens, more like it.
What a bitch.
Right?
Talk of the township. Claude Beacons has been spending an awful lot of time at Widow Foster's house lately.
Ma, with the hair down.
Claude's wife knows about it.
You know, when Ma's hair is down, the popcorn is popping.
Yeah, it's that popcorn sex.
And, yeah, exactly. And Charles has got a full pipe of tobacco.
He's good.
and the kids are 3 feet away.
Yeah, right. We know she. Well, I'm not even going to say.
Carrie.
Okay.
Poor Carrie.
We don't see her at all. We don't see her at all in this one.
Not at all, right? Not even in the background.
She's with Mary.
She's with the nanny.
I don't know how Carolyn got pregnant so much, man. Carrie's right at the foot of their bed. That's twisted.
You guys don't have the video up, do you?
No.
I do not.
All right, so while Carolyn... I'm going to take a screenshot of this.
Get there.
While Carolyn's sitting in front of the fireplace, in the background, there's a window that I don't recall. It would be the back of the house. They don't have a window in the back of the house, do they? Like next to their bed?
Yeah, they do.
So do the girls. They have their bedroom, you know, up in the attic. Oops.
You say so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they do.
All right.
Well, he's spending a lot of time at her place on her roof, fixing it, and his wife knows all about it.
Here's another choice tidbit. Mrs. Sally Larson has left her husband to return to Chicago. Could there be someone special in Chicago? Could the separation be permanent?
I don't like Ma's tone.
I could answer her questions. But someone special is her father. And their separation could be permanent. He may die.
Well, if that's culture, then I'm Abraham Lincoln. You ought to use that paper to start the fire.
The music is
I love
really
that
just...
music. That is Harriet's music. I love it.
It is. And so this is where we learn a little bit more about the how amazing this is working out with her. You know, and you know what? You said that Harriet's really smart, Chris. And I think you're right. I think bartering for advertising space is genius.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to learn why.
Is there, so there was a mention, there is another mercantile store in this town, right?
No.
Because they mention another store in later on, but I was wondering, why do people keep going to this store if they don't like her? You know, it's a
convenience.
I guess
the same reason why we pay $5 for a bar of soap at 7-Eleven, because it's convenient.
Right. That's why I go to Walmart, even though their practices are
right.
It's convenience.
Oh man, it's Willie. I didn't notice that. It's Willie drawing a mustache on Ma's face.
Yeah,
or right. Not Ma's face, but Harriet's face.
Harriet.
Oh, boy.
Oh, for him, please. Get your feet off the sofa. Oh, my. What a day.
Biggest Monday we ever had.
Biggest any day we've ever had. Oh, Nels, that paper is a godsend. Oh, now listen. We'll simply have to double our order for next week's sale. And what we'll do is we'll have a 25% off on everything, and we will raise the prices 40%, and that will give us a 15% profit.
Harriet, we can't do that.
Can't? What do you mean, can't? There's no such word as can't. Nels! Now, Sterling told me that the subscriptions for the paper are just pouring in, thanks to my writing. Fess up, Nels Olson. I am a success in every way.
Including the worst way.
Now, what is that supposed to mean?
Well, now, look at this. Now, here, you say, 7-month married Helga Svensson gave birth to her first child, a baby boy. She claims it was premature.
Oh, use your arithmetic. Seems to me it's as plain as the nose on your face. What happened?
As plain as the nose on your face, not mine. It happens that I talked to Dr. Baker right after the delivery, and he says the birth was premature.
Well, he kills old ladies. Were you going to believe the doc?
Right.
Well, there were rumors.
You are supposed to print the facts, Harriet, not rumors.
Well, it was a fact that there were rumors.
Yeah, Nellie was sweet on Lars and jealous of Helga, so she spread rumors.
What?
Well, of course, they have to start somewhere. Where is Nellie?
Upstairs, crying.
Crying? Oh, what
we had the illuminations today for the spelling bee.
Aha. Uh-huh. And?
Eric Schiller won!
Eric Schiller! Allison Garvey betrayed me.
It was a perfectly fair test. Everybody knows that Eric is the smartest boy in school.
It was not fair. Schiller and Garvey, and they're right here on my little list.
Oh boy, I wouldn't want to be on that list.
That.
You know, I have to say that I don't understand what Nell's problem is, really, because
what?
He's against making money. I mean, that's what I mean. He's a little too honest. It's you can't be in business and just be so honest.
What?
You can raise the prices. There's more demand now.
Well,
you know, there's no reason why he shouldn't make more money. He's working harder, right? There are advertising fees that they are accruing.
No fees, it's barter.
I don't know. I don't think there's anything wrong with raising the prices for them, especially since I don't know. I don't know of any other mercantile. You have to point out like when that's brought up.
Yeah, it's mentioned by Harriet when. Well, I'll point it out, or you'll hear it.
So here Jonathan is, and we're going to start pushing this along because I can't believe we've now entered a full hour of recording.
Mm-hmm.
So, and we're only 16 minutes into the episode.
Uh-oh.
But let's keep going.
Let's. Yep.
I'm sorry, what?
Yep, no, do this clip. This,
I thought
this
you were talking about your mashed potato recipe. Roasted garlic.
We'll have that corset in for you next week, all right?
Oh,
Hello, John.
Mels.
Now, Caroline, have you read the pen in the file this week?
Yes, I have.
Harriet's Happenings?
Yes, I did.
Uh-huh. Well, what did you think?
I thought it was inaccurate, Mrs. Olson.
Inaccurate. For example?
She is, right? You know, the bonnet really brings out the blue in her eyes. She knows how to fill out 18 pounds worth of cloth.
Right.
And Larson's stories are untrue.
Well, if they are untrue, and I'm not saying that they are, mind you, but if they are untrue, we shall certainly print a retraction. Sterling says that there is a little space in the back page in the ad section for just such innocent mistakes.
I'm afraid that's too little and too late, Mrs. Olson. The harm's already been done.
Mrs. Ingalls, we will not be needing any more eggs in the foreseeable future.
Mrs. Olson, I'm sure the hens will be relieved to hear that.
I don't get it.
That's an ugly dress.
Thank you, Mrs. Olson. I don't think that would fit you too well, Jonathan. Too small around the chest.
Come on, Nels.
I was just thinking how nice that would look on Ellis.
Yeah.
It's our 15th wedding anniversary, and the only question is, will it fit my pocketbook?
Well, let's see.
No. Nope.
Hey, this is brown plaid.
Right.
It's going to run you at least $9. Brown plaid.
$9.50.
$9.50. Dang. I'm afraid I'm a little short, Nels.
Oh, I am sure we can work something out.
As I told your wife, Mr. Garvey, I'm afraid we cannot extend further credit until past accounts are settled.
Harriet, this is their 50th wedding anniversary.
You know our policy as well as I do. Now, if we make an exception, every Tom, Dick, and Harry is going to be in here trying to freeload on us. No, we simply cannot make an exception. We can't afford it on frivolous items such as clothing. Of course. If it were something like foodstuffs, something of necessity, say, why, I'd be...
Now, this is one of my favorite lines in Little House on the Prairie as a series coming up. It's one of the funniest things I've ever heard. So I was thinking, it's not a bad idea. But it's I just looked up $9.50 in 1878 is equivalent to the purchasing power of $240.24.
Wow.
So... I guess, you know, that makes a little bit of sense. You know, a nice dress for $250, but it's a lot of money. And, you know, I don't think you should be spending that kind of money.
I think Harriet's right again.
I do. I'm on the side of her. And you know what?
Especially if you're only making $3 from right. from the guy in the...
I know.
Even if you're borrowing the other three from Charles, it's only $6.
Right. I know. I was just thinking as her and Nels were talking back and forth, and Nels was saying, oh, it's a special occasion. I thought, dang, if Harriet wasn't such a witch, they'd probably be as broke as the Ingalls are because he's wanting to give credit to everybody.
Right. And also the $3 would be $75. So
right.
Let's see. In that sense, what is 50 cents? Is $12. It's not bad.
That's pretty good for
a week.
A bunch of 8-year-olds
with zero experience,
right?
We're going to basically raise a little bit of anarchy coming up.
Mm-hmm.
But let's listen to Harriet's suggestion because I don't really think it was that bad of an idea. I know I would appreciate it.
Uh-huh.
Willing to extend you further credit, Mr. Garvey. How about a nice ham?
You want me to give Alice a ham for our 15th anniversary?
Oh, a nice rasher of bacon?
You know, bacon is the gift that keeps giving.
You cooked the ham just right.
Suit yourself.
Oh, stop!
Overgrown ingrate.
Oh, my God.
I'm sorry, Jonathan.
Ingrate.
Can you hold that dress for me, Nels?
That I can do.
I'm sure I can get a small loan over at the bank. It's sleepy eye. I'll be back.
Also hold some of that bacon.
Right.
I don't know. And, you know, bacon is, you know, it's not cheap.
Not no, cheap. It's not. I buy thick cut bacon. That sent me back $12 for there a pound go. Of it here. There you go. Like, dang. Yeah,
that and a ham? You know, it's not a bad gift.
Stop! You're being a man. Stop! A romantic gift.
Yeah. So, what's next on all of this?
So let's read all the rest of the fake news that keeps this episode going. So if you want to skip to that, Garvey's reading the fake news.
Yeah.
Let's... And then the one right after that too, because.
The Garvey's just sitting around drinking God knows what, reading the paper.
Right. Why isn't he working?
Also, you notice in the background, all of the grass and everything is dead.
Simi Valley.
Yeah.
I just hate.
Name the boy pouring drinks.
And his hair. I just cannot get over the Garvey kid's hair. Yeah, it's worse than Albert's, which is just not cut.
It's like Leif Garrett's.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really thick.
Jonathan, listen to this. Your devoted reporter hears disturbing reports of short wait, low quality, and high prices in the general stores over to Tracy and Lamberton. At Olson's Mercantile, it is always the reverse. The highest quality and the lowest price.
I guess it's because they're in the township.
Yeah.
You probably have to travel to get to that.
Wow. Yes. Yeah. Olson's Mercantile is there for Walnut Grove, but Tracy and Lamberton are other areas, I guess.
Is Sleepy Eye, that's not the main town where, like, Mary goes to this blind school, right? What's the name of that town?
Mankato?
Mary's in Dakota Territory. Hmm. They're real far away.
Oh, that's not Mankato? Like, uh-uh. And then... Pa goes there for one time for a labor thing, and
they teach there later after they lose the school and the whole town they come to Walnut Grove after the school burns down. They end up in Mankato.
Okay, and it's right, and then Sleepy Eye is just another town over, I guess.
Something like that. I don't think because
Garvey
far.
Just said it. Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, they told Mary that where she is a lot closer because they just don't want her to think she's that far.
Right.
So she thinks she's only 3 miles down the road.
Stop.
It's actually in Hawaii, but she can't tell.
Exactly. I'll be waving as you go away. Not really. I'm not even
drive
there.
Away. Stop.
Just go. No, she's not even facing me. What? Terrible.
In Hero Township.
Can't believe you guys said that.
I swear that woman doesn't miss a trick. She must write that stuff with a hatchet.
Dipped in venom. Jonathan.
What?
What she's written here about us. By an extremely reliable source, we have learned with sadness that the Jonathan Garveys are deeply in debt. Unable to pay long overdue bills. Bankruptcy looms and they may lose their farm.
Is that right, Pa?
Of course not, son. I may have a bill over at the Mercantile, but I'm going to take care of it.
So it's a little bit true. Yeah.
Like most tabloids.
He looks so guilty, though. Look at his face. He looks so guilty.
Well, it's kind of true, son.
Pure spite.
Well, I'll tell you, that's the only thing pure about Harriet Olson.
You showed her. So here's the Ingalls looking at the paper now as well. All of a sudden, the Ingalls are the ones without the debt, it seems.
I'm studying, it's causing all that pain.
There's Carrie dead at the other end of the table.
Hey, what do you think Walnut Grove's chair?
Oh, yeah, Carrie is there.
She's just, like, lying there dead.
Drawing circles or something.
This is our nice spelling bee next week.
I just hope Eric Schiller wins. Me too. Did you read what Mrs. Olson wrote about him in the paper?
No, I don't read that paper anymore. At least why is not Mrs. Olson's part of it?
We set the type so we have to read it. Eric Schiller was voted to represent Walnut Grove in the annual spelling bee.
Of course, we would all like him to win.
Oh, I'm surprised. That's very nice. For Harriet.
Wait, Ma, that's not all. However, it is most unlikely because Eric comes from an illiterate family, though Eric tries hard to conceal this sad and embarrassing fact.
Well, that sounds more like Harriet.
An awful thing to say.
Oh, she's just jealous because her Nellie wasn't picked.
Yeah, one thing for sure, I'll be there at the spelling bee rooting for Eric.
Why? Like, what? Just a... What? Well, Nellie didn't do anything.
By the way, how you doing on your spelling?
Don't ask.
I didn't get it. Like, what? What do you mean, don't ask? I mean...
I thought she was smart. Yeah, so that's why she's like...
That's how she got this job. She's smart.
Yeah, she's the smart one. She doesn't know how to spell, and she's sitting tight. Not good.
So we're at the Swedish family's house, and right? The news gets
all I kept
them.
Hearing during the scene was like, duh, 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 duh.
Yeah, I'm going to skip it. This is delicious. Well,
they read the paper, yeah. And Ike gets upset at the thing that Harriet wrote.
Exactly.
Yeah, Eric doesn't tell his parents that they've said that they're illiterate. Yeah.
We should play it just to introduce our listeners to the Swedes, just because they come in handy later.
All right. If you're insistent upon it.
Goodbye, Mama. Immer gut.
Bitte. Goodbye, Mama. Right, maybe this is worth playing. Goodbye, Mama.
Good cherry pie, Mama. Immer gut.
Danke, Papa. Get a room. These two. Good cherry pie, Mama.
Would you like a little more?
No, Mama.
Well, you know how I enjoyed to see you eating my food.
Now you read the paper for us, Eric, huh?
Oh, sure, Papa.
Let me read Ziggy.
A flood hits Walnut Grove.
What flood?
Don't even rain since 3 weeks.
False alarm. It says a flood of the new Eastern styles pours into Olsen's Mercantile.
That is one crazy lady.
Oh, what else is happening by Harriet?
But you know, for the most part, if Harriet wasn't just kind of sticking her knife into people, people would like the fact that she's so ridiculous.
Yeah.
Yeah, like true. This guy's like true. Actually being entertained by her like sensational headlines.
Right.
Well, there's something in here about me. Read it. What does it say?
Big dummy dum-dum.
It says, Eric Schiller has been elected to represent Walnut Grove in the annual spelling bee. Of course, we would all like him to win.
Oh, our boy, Papa.
Well, maybe she's only half crazy.
But does it say anything else about you, Eric?
No, just you.
Nine.
Right.
No, Mom.
Nine.
That's it.
His face drops because, of course, he's reading and it's very sad. It's, yeah. Jeez. Talk about buzzkill.
Absolutely.
So here we are at the spelling bee. Papa is with Mama, and he's got his favorite Bible, and they look like they just got off the boat at Ellis Island. She has, like, a winter bonnet on, I would say. It's a very thick bonnet.
And it doesn't look as good on her as it did on Ma.
She's not as much of a looker. She's lived a harder life than Caroline.
Oh, can I mention one thing?
Yeah, sure.
The words these kids have to spell, what the hell?
What was that one word?
I
have no idea what that word was.
Xanthophyll.
I couldn't even spell that to look it up to see if it's a real word.
It sounds like a pill or something. Like it sounds like a new medicine.
Xanthophyll. I know. Just
what
like,
is
wow.
it? Does anybody know what it is?
I can't spell it to look it up.
It's
I was like,
X-A-N
it starts with an X. Jeez.
Yeah.
Good Scrabble word.
Mm-hmm. Triple letter for sure.
I. T.
T-I-O-U-S.
Correct.
Repetition.
Mein Bible.
Sarah,
didn't think it could hurt.
Spell Minisatius.
Minisatius. M-I-M-O-S-A-C-E-O-U-S.
Spell iPod. Can't do it, can you?
E Y E.
Exactly.
Xanthophil.
Oh, Jesus.
Right?
Xanthophil.
Z. Nelly, that's what I would
good
do
there.
Right?
Nelly looked good in the audience there.
Nelly?
X.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A N.
Blue. Six.
T. H. O.
Aw, poor baby.
I wish I had queued up right now the Family Feud sound with like the.
You don't have that like immediately handy. I thought you could bring these things up.
Oh my gosh!
Wah wah wah!
Oh, you're so bad.
Let's hear it again. Wait, let's just. I'll bring it in.
He's not done yet.
Yeah, he's not done yet.
T-H-O-Z. P-H.
Oh, yeah, and she... Harry, this is terrible.
That pencil and the P.
I-L-L.
I gotta save that sound. That's the best sound ever. Welcome to the feud.
Oh my gosh, poor Eric.
So what does he do? He quits school.
He runs out of the classroom and then he quits school.
Just like a German to do that.
Yeah, you know what? A bunch of quitters.
Okay, y'all said that. I didn't. My family's German. Stop it.
Well, welcome to America.
Oh, stop it.
No. No, I have no problem with Germans. I mean, aside from, of course, the obvious stuff. But
actually, they're Polish and Lithuanian. But anyway, that's an aside.
So Pa goes to their house because they left behind their Bible.
Because, yeah, Pa's got to set everything straight.
Oh, my God.
With everybody.
And apparently, you know, it's been a really long time that he had this Bible because he's had the opportunity to quit school and he hasn't been around. He hasn't come to church. So it's like you couldn't just take a ride and drop it off.
Right.
Sooner.
Right. It's on his way home, too.
Exactly.
Charles has become the Messiah of the country.
And they're always digging posts. You notice that in Little House?
Yeah.
What? Yeah, there's a lot of...
Always putting up fences.
Digging posts and feeding pigs.
Jeez.
Eric? Mr. Schiller?
Good morning, Mr. Ingers.
You left your Bible at the spelling bee.
6 months ago.
I gave it to you when you came out of church, Sonny, but I didn't see you.
Eric was sick. Don't go. Eric?
Mrs. Garvey told me to quit school. I'm sorry to hear about that. She said you had a very good chance for a scholarship. I don't need school anymore. Papa's done fine without it.
I do not understand. Ever since that spelling match, Eric does not like school. And he liked it before so much.
You know, nobody expects you to win that spelling bee.
That's real nice to say.
Cheer him up, Charles.
It's like, seriously, it's kind of like, this kid wakes up in the middle of the night and he's just like kind of reliving it, you know, and it's like he just hears like this in his mind over and over. It happens over and over and over again.
We all know you were trying too hard because of what Mrs. Olsen wrote in the paper.
She only says she holds Eric Varin.
No, sir, she said a lot more.
What?
I think you should let Eric tell you that. Just remember, son, if you quit school, Mrs. Olsen gets her petty revenge. The only one that's going to suffer is you. Just have a talk with your pa.
Killer.
And that's actually how the episode ends.
Mm-hmm. Have a talk with your pa.
Yeah, he doesn't go back to school, actually.
Thank you, Mike Brady. Yes, he does.
That's it, yeah. No, he does. Well, we have the kids hatching a plan, which is always, like, really, really fun, I think.
Right, but then Pa goes to Stanley and gets out his National Enquirer.
Yeah, which is basically
diatribe out.
Yeah, this is basically what the whole episode was written around, I think.
Yes.
Is this scene.
Yeah. I think it's more the scene at the end where
the
preaching.
That's the big one that we should play.
Yeah. Oh, we will.
You had a chance to do some good for this community, Mr. Murdoch.
You brought Ziggy to this community.
Right.
A family affair.
And Charlie Brown.
Yeah.
This is America, Mr. Ingalls. Every business is entitled to make a legitimate profit.
Doomsbury.
Come on, this isn't a legitimate newspaper. It's a scandal sheet.
I resent that.
Well, so do I. I resent the fact that your cousin, once removed, uses her pen to write lies. Lies that hurt people. To square grudges and to promote herself and her business.
Harriet is only doing her job, reporting the news of Walnut Grove.
That's not news. It's vindictive gossip, and you know it.
Well, call it what you will. I give the public what it wants. And the proof is the subscriptions are still pouring in, and so are the ads. They go hand in hand.
Well, not in my hand. I don't buy garbage. I understand you owe my children a week's pay. They'll be in this afternoon to collect it.
Oh, great. Now I have to find some other stupid kids.
Right.
So the kids are hanging out, having free access to the...
which nobody checks, I guess, before they go to print.
Right.
Yeah. I guess, like, sabotage was not really expected at this time of the whole thing. How much was the paper? A penny or something?
Probably. I don't think they ever say. I don't remember them ever saying. Sorry. But I love Albert. He's such a conniver.
Yeah. And I like the way the plan comes together.
I wonder what the subscription rate was. Like, if I get 12 issues, do I get a break?
Do I get a free issue at all? Is there a swimsuit issue?
Do I get a like a bag?
Yeah, that'd be nice.
Subscribe.
Yes. Or a VHS tape of like the highlights of the year.
That's right. Free white egg.
The cover has like Kathy Ireland on it.
Is that your dog? Take him away! Get out of here! Oh, why do people bring their dogs into town? They should be on the farm. The Star Reporter's here. Oh, where's Cousin Sterling?
He went down to telegraph for some more newsprint for next week's paper. We're just waiting to get paid.
Uh-huh. Isn't it marvelous? The demand has exceeded my wildest expectations. Now, I want to check my copy before it goes to press. Gigantic surplus sale. 40% off everything. Yes. There is a rumor being widely circulated that Nellie Olsen probably has the highest moral character in the community. She won't be seen out with a boy at night. Mrs. Olsen has been receiving many, many compliments on her likeness in The Pen and the Plow. Some say that it brings out her natural beauty, and others say it doesn't quite do her justice. All right. Everything appears to be in order.
You may tell Cousin Sterling that he may go to press whenever he likes. Ta-ta.
Ta-ta.
Maybe Laura should practice her spelling, but instead of just mocking people. This is like Brady Bunch music.
It is.
You know, I think we ought to check this type again.
There's nothing wrong with it. Besides, Pa said we can't.
I know what he said. But I thought we might change it a little bit, if you get my meaning.
I get it.
Oh, boy! I get it.
Music is, like, wow. So funny.
Wow. Wow.
So where are we in the next scene? We are in front
of... Well, now
of the
more fake news against Harriet comes out. So do we want to... Just play the next couple of clips and then...
Sure. Here we go. Oh, you want the more news about Harriet or the big sale?
Oh, no,
from
no, the big sale.
Yeah.
Nils! It's going to be a banner day. They're coming in droves.
Like sheep to the shearing.
And by droves, she means five people.
Which one is the one he was cheating on her with?
Cindy, when people start leaving the store,
right.
she's the blonde with the blue eyes. She's on the left-hand side of the screen, and she kind of looks up at Harriet as she's walking out the door. I can't remember what she has in her hand.
All right, I'm looking.
Because I don't have it front of me, but yeah. She's
I'm going to watch.
A lot.
I want to see if I approve.
I want to read and analyze this scene.
Bye. Oh, good morning. Come in.
Morning. Welcome. Put it on your...
Oh, good morning, Miss Foster. Welcome to the sale to end all sales.
It certainly should.
Is there something in particular you had in mind?
Well, I've been wanting a mantle clock. Oh. I couldn't afford it.
Uh-huh.
But with a sale like this, anyone can afford anything.
Oh, yes. Well, now, this is our very best model.
Oh, it's so nice. I'll take it.
Well, wait, Mrs. Foster, you haven't paid me for it yet.
Of course not. It says right here in this paper.
Yeah.
Public service sale, 100% off of everything.
100%?
Thank you, Harriet, for the
clock. No, you can't go.
What did you do? What was she holding?
I can't remember what she was holding,
but she was a blonde, blue-eyed.
Yeah.
Wait, I'm going back.
That's her.
Too far.
At least she's holding an iron. Like one you plug in. She grabbed the a Walkman. But so essentially they turned it into 100% off sale, which is, you know, kind of funny. So they close up shop, of course, blowing the whole day for them. So here we learn more news about Harriet.
Oh, I love
that. With Nellie Olson's looks. No boy will be seen out with her at night.
I didn't write that. Oh, they can't do this to me.
There's no such word as can't, Harriet.
Well, you read what it says about you. Right at the top.
We have it from a most reliable source that Mrs. Olson's hair is not all her own. And neither are her teeth.
That's mean. I think that was more mean.
No, it wasn't. It was great. It was great. Get her. Get Harriet. I love it when she goes to the Ingalls. I love when she goes to the Ingalls, her and Carolyn. It was great.
Here we go.
My dear Harriet, the children are being punished for what they've done.
How? I want to know, how are they being punished?
Horsewhip them.
They can't work for the paper anymore.
They can't work. Of course they can't work for the paper anymore. Good grief, woman. They should be worse for what they've done, telling those monstrous lies about me and Nellie.
Well, if the items were wrong, and I don't know that they were
wrong. Of course they were wrong.
Then you can always print a retraction. Put it right on the front page. Don't stick it way in the back. Something to the effect of, contrary to published reports, Harriet Olson does not have false teeth and does not wear a wig.
But things get so dark now, right? This is hidden below the belt, I think.
Right? Yeah. She really, yeah, she's really...
It's where even in politics, I hate when people bring the kids into it. And,
I agree.
And it's just like, that's all you have left. You know, it's so desperate. So, yeah, so this is what happens.
But I don't like when Pa brings church into everything either.
I mean, either. You know what? Get off the, you know, pedestal and...
Yeah. Right, you little bigamist.
Yeah, it's like, get out of here, commie.
Yeah.
Go back to socialist Sweden.
So you're going to play the fake news about Albert?
Yes. Clip? Yeah, all I think it's really important.
Yeah.
Albert. Albert.
Head and plow. Get your paper. Harriet's helping.
And I think that was Willie's voice, right?
Yeah, that was Willie. He's selling the papers.
Fish weren't biting, huh?
We were catching some.
How you came home so early?
Because of this.
Look, I told you I didn't want any member of my family buying that newspaper again.
We didn't buy it. Nellie Olson brought it to us at the pond. She told us her mother said she wanted Albert to have one for free.
What'd she say?
You want to read it?
Yeah. It's right here at the top. The joke of Walnut Grove. The whole town is laughing over the fact that Charles Ingalls' young house guest, Albert No Name, calls Charles Pa. He even had the audacity to register the boy in Walnut Grove school as Albert Ingalls. But who are we to laugh? Perhaps the boy really is Charles's, in which case the joke is on Caroline Ingalls.
Boom!
Wow.
You got to say, you know what? She knows how to write, you know, an attack.
I'm surprised she didn't include the part about Solomon. You remember the episode, The Wisdom of Solomon, with Todd Bridges when Charles was messing with Harriet and said that he was his son from a previous marriage?
Yeah.
I'm surprised she didn't pull that in there,
too. Oh, it was coming.
Too.
You know, like that would have been for the Christmas article.
Right.
I'm sorry. It's all my fault.
It is.
It was my idea to change the type.
We just wanted to teach her a lesson, give her a taste of her own medicine.
I know, it's nobody's fault.
Actually, it is.
Right?
What they did is terrible. You know, it's like they messed with somebody's business, you know? What they did was worse, I think.
I'll tell Mrs. Garvey to change my name back to just plain Albert.
You do no such thing because of the likes of Mrs. Olson. You like being my son?
Well, sure.
I like being your pa, so that's the end of that.
There's something about the Schillers in there, too. Mm.
It was reported early in this column it was a sad mistake to pick the son of illiterate parents to represent Walnut Grove in the spelling contest. Perhaps Mrs. Garvey has learned her lesson this time. By the way, Mr. Garvey is considering buying his wife a ham for their 15th wedding anniversary. I call that true love. So people have stopped buying this trash.
But they don't. Nellie said this was the last one. They're all sold out.
Well, it's not going to do any good. Come church services this Sunday, the folks in this town are going to learn a little bit about the pen and the plow.
Uh-oh.
Do, do, do. It sounds like Bonanza music.
He's going to buy her a ham for her 15th anniversary. It sounds like true love.
Right? Oh,
she God. Knows how to write a sentence. Tinker's nowhere to be found.
Nope, but his bell's still ringing.
Yep. Shut that baby up!
Right. Jeez.
Thanks, Pa, for dressing for church.
And Reverend.
Is he putting on your best pink shirt? Maybe you can unbutton another bot. Yeah, okay. Show a little bit more chest. Yeah. Have we ever seen his ears?
I don't think so. Boy, in Wolfman, in the Wolfman movie, we saw his ears, but not awesome. In Little House.
Yeah.
So I guess I was a little nervous this morning. I forgot my Bible. Mr. Schiller was kind enough to lend me his.
He doesn't need it.
The text I've chosen for this morning is Exodus chapter 20, verse 16. I think it only fitting that the outstanding citizen of Walnut Grove read that text for us this morning. Mm-hmm. Mrs. Olson, would you mind?
It's Grace.
Exodus 20:16.
Baby Grace popped into the show.
Mm-hmm.
This is hilarious.
Can't read this?
Why, are you illiterate?
It's dirty.
But of course not. It's written in some kind of foreign gibberish.
It's not gibberish, it's German.
Foreign gibberish. Rout.
Well, because I can't read German doesn't make me illiterate.
I agree with you. And by the same token, I think you'll agree with me that not being able to read English doesn't make Mr. and Mrs. Schiller illiterate either.
Ooh. Lambs that Bible shut.
Charles is going on the list.
As a matter of fact, far from being illiterate, Mr. and Mrs. Schiller speak two languages, which I think is more than most of us in this church can claim. There is someone else in this church that speaks two languages.
Mr. Hanson.
Mr. Sterling Murdoch. Mr. Murdoch's second language is that of his newspaper, The Pen and the Plow. It's a language made up of half-truths, innuendos, and outright lies. It's the language of yellow journalism.
I do not think church is the proper place to discuss this sort of thing.
And I most certainly agree with Sterling.
Well, I don't. I think it's a perfect place. I don't think there's a better place in the world. Would you sit down, Mrs. Olson?
So she does.
When I talked to Mr. Murdoch about the harm that his newspaper was doing, he shut me off. He claimed his right to freedom of the press. Well, as I see it, freedom of the press doesn't give anyone the right to print lies that blacken a person's name and cause pain. And that is exactly what the Pen and the Plow is doing, in direct conflict with the text that I chose this morning. The eighth commandment, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. But Mr. Murdoch told me that is the language that you all want to read. And apparently he's right. And I've asked myself over and over again, why do you continue to support that paper? You derive that much pleasure from the pain and suffering of others? Or is it because it's not you that's being hurt? When you go out and buy that newspaper on Saturday morning, you are supporting and encouraging the very sins that you decry in this church on Sunday. Well, I think it's time that we begin to practice what we preach inside this church, outside this church. On the streets of Walnut Grove. On our farms, in our homes. With our friends, our neighbors, and our loved ones. with every human being everywhere.
Ah, shut up.
God, think about it.
My favorite part.
Shall we rise and sing What a Friend?
Please rise as we sing Why Can't We Be Friends by War. Why can't we be friends?
What a friend we have with Jesus. Oh.
Ma's next to the dock again.
What'd you say?
Ma's next to the dock again.
Yeah, they're hanging out quite a lot.
Harriet's gonna write about that one.
You know, I don't want to say it too loudly, but Grace looks more, you know, like Swedish than Charles.
Can I just say
what?
The National Enquirer was apparently printing the truth because he was having the affair.
Yes, right. That's my point. It's like, yeah, hello, don't do something for the newspapers to get a hold of. So blah, 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 blah. You know, it's just like, I mean, he does have a point, but it's just like, come on, dude. You got caught with your hand in the cookie jar and you're pissed because they're printing it.
Sadly, the National Enquirer has been known, and it's been proven over the decades that it actually prints mostly truth.
Yes, yeah, it's true. I mean, not the real rag papers like the Examiner that talks about aliens.
No,
you know,
like
babies.
The National Enquirer.
Yeah, the
specifically.
National. Yeah, it's like how many stories have they printed? Where you know you read it, you go, seriously, that is not true. And then guess what? It comes out in a legitimate paper. The Times or something where you're like, holy crap, they were right.
I always preferred the Star back then because it was in color.
Yeah.
And the National Enquirer was just black and white.
I'm more of a World Weekly News kind of guy. Monkey Boy or something. Bat Boy. Does this end in song or?
No, Laura has a narration.
Oh.
Everything to God in prayer.
The pen and the plow went out of business a month later, and Walnut Grove got back to normal. Paul hopes someday we'll have another newspaper, a real newspaper that prints the truth. Freedom of the press, Pa says, is as important as all our other freedoms, and should never be abused.
Well, your Pa said that, did he?
He did.
Something else. In the next episode that would air on November 6th would be The Wedding with Mary Ingalls.
Right. Yeah. I knew it was coming up, you know, pretty quick. Whenever I watch this episode, though, I always feel sorry for Melissa Gilbert because Melissa Gilbert's personal history, she was only on this series for like, I think it was 2 years, and as she came to find out as an adult, her father committed suicide. She knew that he died when
Wait,
she was
a little
girl. Wait,
did you say Melissa Gilbert?
Yes. Melissa Gilbert's father, she thought they told her when she was a child that he had died of a heart attack, but actually he was in very, very ill health, and she found out as an adult that he committed suicide.
Oh,
and
wow.
So Michael Landon, and we've heard her say it before, but he really was her substitute dad. She was very, very close to him. And so I've always wondered, how did that affect her? Because when he left Lynn, I mean, she was a part of their family. She spent weekends over at their house. Her and Michael Landon's daughter were very, very close friends. And I've read different things where it was kind of like, because it was like she felt her dad had abandoned her too. Not only did he cheat on his wife and and, you know, his children, but she felt it almost as strongly as his children did. And I've read many, many bits and pieces and articles over the years that on a personal level, after that happened, that she just didn't communicate with him. And even before he died, they hadn't spoken to each other for, like, you know, 10 years. She really took it almost as one of his biological children that he, you know, she felt like he cheated on, you know, her, that he broke up her family because that was her substitute dad after her dad passed away. On a very personal level. So it just, I would probably embarrass myself if I ever met her in person, but it just makes me feel like I want to pour a pot and tea up tea and go, wow, how did you do that? How did you keep working with him? Because she felt as betrayed as his biological children did. It's like, wow, how did you, as a kid, how did you deal with that? You had to come to work. It's like going to work with somebody you had a fling with and then you break up and you got to see him every day. That was her dad to her. And, you know, and it just really splintered their relationship.
On a side note, I just noticed that Grace was not even credited. Just want to point that out. she's uncredited. I think
you need to have a speaking, you know, say something to get a credit if you're just appearing.
Carrie didn't utter a word.
She was passed out on the table.
John Hillerman, though, who passed away just 2 years ago. No, one, just a year ago at 84.
It was recent.
Yeah.
You know, he was, he didn't do much after, he didn't do anything, you know, in the late 90s or throughout the 2000s. The last thing he did, as an actor was a Very Brady sequel.
What?
Oh yeah, he was the rich guy. His son was Gilligan.
He was Dr. Whitehead.
Yes, he was Dr. Whitehead with his son Gilligan. That was hilarious.
Oh my God, that's so sad.
But I remember he was on The Love Boat a lot.
Who wasn't? Oh my God, right. Allison was on the Love Boat. Melissa Sue Anderson was on The Love Boat.
We got to go back to The Love Boat, right? For VHS Rewind, Chris.
I would like to do The Love Boat. You know I would, love The Love
Boat.
Me too.
I would do like a year of Love Boat.
God.
Maybe just focus on The Love Boat for a whole year.
Do the episode where Melissa Sue Anderson was on there with Frank Sinatra Jr. You know, she dated him for a while.
That's so funny.
Get out of town.
She did. Yes, she did. She dated Frank Sinatra, and she does a really bad rendition of Witchcraft through the entire episode. She could not sing. It was really bad.
I don't know. I'm thinking that we have to go on the Pacific Princess.
Wait, I think Susan might be a good gauge here. Susan, what do you think about a dedicated Highway to Heaven series?
Yeah.
Oh, that would be cool.
Did you watch that one as well?
Oh, yeah.
I think we can integrate that into Walnut Grove Cast, though. It could be like kind of like just a sidebar.
Okay. All right. I watched the first episode and it's just like this.
It really is.
It's just like this.
With a car. That's about it.
Yeah, I don't know Highway to Heaven as it's not as entrenched. I'm not as enmeshed in it as I am Little House, but yeah, I used to watch it.
But Victor French has the same facial hair.
So right?
Funny. Except he wears a baseball hat now. Or then. But exactly. Guys, thank you so much for getting together for this wonderful episode of Walnut Grove Cast.
It was nice to meet you.
Oh, it was lovely to meet you too. This was so fun.
Yeah, and, we get to do this again.
This was long episode, but hopefully people can listen to this while they're waiting for their turkey to crisp up.
Absolutely.
As they're drinking their boxed wine.
That's right.
Now, it's Chardonnay.
I'm a Crown and Seven girl. No boxed wine
me. Yeah, maybe you can work up to that one day.
Yeah. Okay.
No, but I wish you guys a happy Thanksgiving. Please.
And you as well. You both as well.
Yeah, I'm sure we'll see a lot of pictures of food, and there'll be a lot of overstuffed bellies and lots of leftover turkey sandwiches.
Absolutely.
Turkey time, turkey time, turkey time, turkey time. 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 Gobble, 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 chug. 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 Turkey time, turkey time. Turkey time, turkey time. Turkey time, turkey time. Turkey time, turkey time. Gobble, 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 squat. 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 Turkey time, turkey time.